He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Best Stocks Now show on this Tuesday, January the 27th. I hope you're staying warm wherever you are. It's a little chilly here where I am. But the market has opened up. It's mixed. But if you're on the right side of that mixed, you're happy. And we're happy today because the side that is up is where we're mostly focused on. In 2026, right now you've got the Dow down 480 points to 48,932. And I'm just going to tell you, that's mostly United Healthcare, which has just been a horrible, horrible stock over the last several years. And that's leading the Dow. But on the other hand, you've got the NASDAQ up 171, the AI stocks leading the way there. And that puts the NASDAQ at 23,770. The S&P 500 kind of splitting the difference there. It's up 19 points to 69.69. Maybe we'll see 7,000 before the end of the week on that S&P 500. The Russell 2000 small caps taking the day off. They're down 4 points right now, just a little bit. And then we've got the bond market. The bond market is quiet. We're at 4.22. You're seeing a little bit of profit taking. Nope, now gold's up. No, it's down 60 basis points. So it's at 5,051. Can you believe that? And Bitcoin remains weak. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And it looks like a pretty heavy news day once again. Never a dull moment in the markets. Today it's about healthcare. It's about some big earnings from GM, Intel, Raytheon, etc. A few other things here and there sprinkled in. We are now really starting to heat up with earnings season as the results now are starting to pick up. And by tomorrow, we're going to get Microsoft and Meta and Apple and Tesla and some of the really key stocks in the markets. Well, we finished okay yesterday. I mean, the Dow was up. The NASDAQ was up. Gold, this is just an unprecedented run in gold. You start to wonder, Barry, you know, on the one hand, yes, gold has been a hedge against the tariffs, but it almost seems that gold is speaking just a little bit to fear of the U.S. dollar. Okay,
yeah.
You know, gold usually goes the opposite way of the dollar. That hasn't been the case, but right now I'm starting to wonder about that, if that's what gold is worried about.
Well, and it's interesting. I think at some point, right, and I was talking with the client, asked about this yesterday, and that's why it's on my mind. But it's at some point, gold goes from being a hedge to a risk asset, right? And we're getting to a close. We're getting to an area potentially, right, where it's becoming speculative, right, to a certain extent.
Especially silver.
Yeah, and that's where I saw a note from your friend Marco Kalanovich.
I saw that,
who said that he expects silver to be half of the price that it is, by year-end or at some point. The point being, even if it's half of what it is, it'd still be double what it was, just a handful of months ago. But we're certainly in that, I think, getting towards that speculative realm, particularly on silver,
Yeah, definitely into a speculative area there. Silver and, the U.S. dollar. Is there a crisis of confidence? I think there's definitely a crisis of confidence in the cryptocurrency markets right now.
Certainly.
Which is even more of a risk asset than gold. definitely, and from my point of view, it's way more of a risk asset than gold is. It's much more of a speculative type of asset. Gold is much more of a, you know, something you can hold in your hand, an intrinsic value. But there does seem to be some fear now entering into the picture of, wow, we better buy gold. And there's always a lot of headlines, and there's a lot of doomsday writers. There have been ever since I've been in the business calling for the collapse of the U.S. dollar. And, it, of course, they point to the, you know, the deficit that we run and the spending that we do and the money that we print and the money that we borrow. There's good reason for that. But we really have not seen over the years, as I've been in the business now for 25 years, I have not seen that collapse in the dollar happen yet. But it's always kind of in the back of a lot of people's minds. And maybe there's a little bit of that right now in this whole move in gold and silver, which has cooled off a little bit today. Would I be buying silver today? No, I don't think so. And, you know, as I looked at charts yesterday, the precious metal charts dominate the momentum stocks right now. They dominate the stocks moving up in rank right now. The valuation is another issue, however. You know, I just think it's, I think it's a little overdone, maybe way overdone, especially silver, not so much gold, but silver seems pretty overdone to me. I'd be really careful. Yes, there are some inverse silver, but, you want to tread carefully there, because there's also seems to be a short squeeze going on in silver right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's one of those things. It's almost untouchable to a certain extent because it's the volatility in potentially in both directions, right?
It's like a landmine, you know, that could go off or not, you know.
Yeah, your chances of getting it right in either direction to me are fairly, you know, are kind of certainly tough at the moment statistically, because it's shown that it can be irrational and can stay there for a while, particularly if there's a short squeeze.
And just keeps defying gravity. And I think the ETFs play into that a little bit. This AGQ ETF is 2x silver. And I've seen that thing just explode, and it continues. It hit another new high yesterday, but you're really playing with fire there, delving into it at this point in time. Now, today we've got some big earnings from mostly Dow stocks, about Boeing. We've got GM reporting in. And, of course, United Healthcare, which needs, I don't know, I guess you got to have a healthcare stock in the Dow. But, man, it's been a disaster of a stock here for quite some time. You know, it's just as important, in my opinion, to know where the bad stocks now are and to avoid those areas of the market as it is to know where the best stocks or the good ones, and according to my strategy, are at the current time. Tomorrow we're going to start to get some put up or shut up from the tech industry. Microsoft, which has been a little bit soft lately. Meta, which has been volatile lately. He had a bad quarter, a couple of bad quarters, Zuckerberg did. Then he comes back, you know, with, you know, they're working on their own AI, their own tools and all kinds of things. And, you know, he's kind of back in the game. And you're going to get results from Tesla. That's always interesting. So tomorrow's going to be a very big day, AT&T, IBM, et cetera. And then on Thursday, Apple will report. Apple has picked up a little bit, but it has not really behaved very well for quite some time. And then on Friday, we'll hear from a couple of big oil, Chevron and Exxon Mobil. So we've got some interesting days ahead. And today, of course, is also an interesting day, and we'll go through and pick apart some of these earnings reports and try to separate the good from the bad, you know, that are reporting here today.
Apple's move has been interesting because it's like, you know, we've talked about them being lagging on the AI front.
And, big time.
You know, a lot of their bump up, it's interesting because we talk about them not being much of an innovator lately because most of their rise has just been them firming up partnership with Google and Gemini, right, in terms of their AI technology. So it's not
they're
really
going to pay
innovating.
For AI.
Exactly.
Give someone
they're
else partnering. The dough instead right. of developing their own. But I think that the iPhone 17 or wherever we're at, 16 or 17, I lose track. They've been pretty good. It's been okay. Disney is going to move forward with plans for a theme park in Abu Dhabi. And I think that may have been come about because of Trump's trip over there earlier this year. You know, our relations with Abu Dhabi and Dubai and Saudi Arabia have been pretty good under the Trump administration, but that's a big thing for Disney to open up another theme park. It's been a horrible stock, though, I hate to tell you. It's like no gain over the last decade. Most people don't realize that. Okay, when we come back, a lot of data center news, fiber optic deals, all kinds of stuff to talk about here today. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Boy, we're seeing some huge gains in several AI stocks, related stocks today. Micron right now is up 5.2%. Western Digital is up 5.4%.
High conviction pick keeps keeps going.
CoreWeave up 7.7%, Lam Research up 5.6%, and Seagate up 5.3%.
Wow.
Also seeing good action in Embraer today. I was reading about the demand for the smaller aircraft from that Brazilian company. It's up 3.1 today. Not only has Brazil stocks have done really well. There's a lot of mining stocks in Brazil. That helps. A lot of gold and silver in Brazil. But they also are home to Embraer, and it's having a good day. And the nuclear, I see GE Vernova up 3.1% today. And ASM Lithography. So a lot of stocks you hear us talk about a lot here on the that just happens to be where the action in the market is parked right now.
On the aviation space, you mentioned Embraer, and I saw a thing today with Boeing has a record amount of backlog. I think it's over $600 billion worth of orders that they got to start cranking out. So that's why you see that activity.
I drove by the Boeing plant last night. I can't even believe the expansion that is taking place. They're going to just take over that whole area. It really is starting to dwarf our little international airport here in Charleston. And
they're building
you know,
quickly, too. I mean, the other thing is they're building pretty fast.
They are moving really, really fast. They're working around the clock to build more facilities, more space. And, of course, the apartments in the area and the traffic in the area has also increased exponentially. So there's just a report, boots on the ground. Boeing is down, however. We don't own Boeing. It's down 2.5% right now after their report. And, you know, they're still worried about the execution risk. I think there's the problem. You get really busy and have all of those orders, and then, you know, you also have to stay on top of the quality control, which has been an issue in the past for Boeing. So there's risk in owning Boeing. We don't own Boeing. It's come back a long ways. It's at 242 a share right now, but we do own Embraer. EMBG, which, you know, a lot of the smaller commuter aircraft that that you fly on when you're making connections and whatnot, Embraer aircraft. Okay, there's news on Microsoft today, and of course they're going to report tomorrow, which will be interesting. Microsoft's been pretty soft lately, but They're winning approval for 15 additional data centers at a former Wisconsin Foxconn site.
So they're going to build, I was reading this, so they're going to build 15 on this site that's already there?
Yeah, it's named Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin, too. Wow. I guess every state has a Mount Pleasant somewhere. I know there's one in New York. Barry and I happen to live in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. This is South Pleasant, Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin, where I'm sure it's not too pleasant there today.
Yeah, not too many mounts here either, by the way, in the low country.
We don't have much elevation. 15 additional data centers. Data centers are taking over the world, it seems like.
I mean, it must be a big facility already. I want to see a map. I need to look and find this thing on Google Maps and see what it, how big it is. I mean, if it's going to house 15 data centers already, it's got to be a huge. Plant.
Yes, and some of the companies that will have space there from Microsoft will be OpenAI, Amazon, Google, Oracle, etc. So anyways, where are they going to get the power? All of a sudden, the lights are going to go out there in Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin. They'll go, what just happened? Well, too many people are doing searches that are going through the data centers on AI causing a squeeze. So that's where that whole energy, play comes in, is powering these data centers. I saw another company yesterday, Baker Hughes, which is Houston. Baker Hughes is getting more and more. They're looking to double their data center business. Now, remember, Baker Hughes is not nuclear. Baker Hughes is powering data centers with natural gas, liquid natural gas or natural gas, one or the other. And so there's a lot of ways to play. And then the whole infrastructure for the data centers, Corning. Okay, Corning's been around for a long, long time. It jumped more than 6% pre-market after Meta said it will pay the company up to $6 billion through 2030 to supply fiber optic cable for its AI data centers. So you're getting these companies that have been around for a long time, doing other things, all of a sudden becoming players in the data center boom. And we just mentioned Baker Hughes. Well, here's a second one, Corning. Corning got its first big jump when Apple, Corning, I think, made the glass in the early days. I don't know if they still do.
Yeah,
iPhones.
That was like the heat. Remember, that was like the weathermane of iPhone sales. You used to just kind of test the wind, right? And if Corning did well, then that meant iPhone sales were going to be.
And I remember when Corning was one of the hottest stocks in the NASDAQ back in early 2000.
It was unbelievable.
Well, now they make fiber optic cable, and Meta is ordering. He's got a big checkbook, old Zuckerberg.
He's been throwing a lot of money around lately. he's okay spending cash, I'll tell you that much.
Yes, and he does not want to get left behind in all of this. They've outlined, Meta has, $600 billion in capital expenditures through 2028 to build out their artificial intelligence-related infrastructure. And Meta's going to report, I think, aren't they reporting, are they one of the big ones tomorrow? I think so.
So we get, I think tomorrow after the close, we get Microsoft, Meta, and Tesla. And then on Thursday, I think after the close, we get Apple.
Yeah. Four of the original seven
Magnificent Seven, right, are reporting in the next 2 days.
Yes. But more important than that, the most important news of the day is Nancy Pelosi discloses her buys of NVIDIA, Apple, AllianceBernstein, okay?
AllianceBernstein was a weird one when I saw that one on there.
Yeah, people that have tracked her as a money manager, and she's outperformed Buffett quite handily. But the money, she talk about throwing money around. She's throwing around. She purchased an Apple. What was the total amount that she purchased? 7,704 shares of Alphabet. 20 call options on Apple, worth between $1 million and $5 million. She's throwing some dough around. Wow. You can always follow Nancy and see what she's buying. She does have a little more info than most of us have sitting in on those congressional meetings that are behind closed doors. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, in our premier growth portfolio, we currently own 22 positions. I have room for 8 more. When it's fully invested, it would own approximately 30 stocks, but we own 22, and our cash position right now is about 25% in cash, and that's not because we're bearish or anything like that. It's because we're picky, and I just have not been able to find, although I pick away at it constantly, and I look every single day. And you might say to yourself, Bill, you talk about Boeing and how it's exploding and then blah, 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 blah. How come Boeing is not one of those 30 stocks or 22 stocks in your current premier growth portfolio? Well, I'll give you the answer to that. I use the app that I invented for myself, the Best Stocks Now app. I don't have several committees that are managing these portfolios and meeting in boardrooms and arguing the pros and cons of all of these stocks. I go right to the meat of the matter. Two things, pretty simple. Number one, the track record of the company. The track record of the company. Over the last 10 years, an investment in Boeing has not done very well. Man, they, pardon the pun, but they've had some real ups and downs, Barry. They have had a very dramatic 10 years with plane crashes, the 737s, the software issues, doors flying off. Windows, planes.
Yeah, Windows issues. Oh, remember we had the fake titanium? Don't
yes.
forget that. We've obviously some crashes, and we had, of course, you know, the Max, and then a bunch of labor disputes all over, you know, every different part of their, whether it was machinists or whether it was, you know, anything and everything to do with Boeing. It's every group at some point seems like they've had some type of labor, you know, hiccup over the last ten years.
So an investment with all of that risk involved over the last 10 years, you've been rewarded with an 8.3% average annual return on the stock. The S&P 500 itself, 26.5. So it has way, way underperformed the market. Now, the question is, can it outperform the market in the future? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. That comes down to the valuation over the next 5 years. But before we do that, let's continue looking at their track record. And, of course, they do have new management. This reflects the old management. Over the last 5 years, an investment in Boeing has made 3.8%. You do better in a treasury with a heck of a lot less risk. You know, doors don't fly off of treasuries. I haven't seen anything lately. The S&P's up 16% per year over the last 5 years if you compound it out. And Boeing is 3.8%. Okay, these are some big strikes against this stock. It's becoming pretty easy for me to say, I've only got 30 spots available, guys, here, and am I going to take up space? Now, over the last 3 years, it's about as bad. It's down, it's up 5.7. The S&P's 24. Signs of life, however, over the last 12 months, they seem to be getting it together, and the stock reflects it. stocks up 39% over the last 12 months. Maybe this is a turnaround play, while the S&P's up 13.6. So it's tripled the returns of the S&P 500 over the last 12 months. But that has not convinced me yet, all right? Now, for that, that's looking in the past in the rearview mirror. I'm going to go to my five-year valuation to see what kind of upside potential currently exists. And for that, I take the earnings estimates, the consensus earnings estimates out there for next year, and I apply the growth rate. Now, the street has 5% per year growth. I've bumped it up to 8 on my own. Okay, the street is the consensus estimate. And I, you know, I just see all the activity going on over there, and I think it's going to be better than 5%. But even at 8%, you take those earnings and extrapolate them out over the next 5 years at 8% per year, which is pretty subpar. You come up with the target price of $354 5 years from now. That represents 43% upside potential, which is very subpar. In fact, that's a value grade of F. So you've got a performance grade of C-. You've got a value grade of F. And you currently have a stock that in my Best Stocks Now system is ranked number 1,759 out of 5,192. So sorry, it's not going to be on my roster in the Super Bowl this year or in the All-Star game for baseball this year. Now, maybe at some point in time, yes, I have owned Boeing in the past before things started to go south. I think the pros of Boeing, they don't have a lot of competition. Their only competition really is Airbus. So all of these plane orders, you're going to either go to Boeing or you're going to go to Airbus. And it does, the other positive, I would say, Barry, air travel has been doing well. It's, you know, I can't remember the last time I got on a flight that wasn't
yeah,
fully
that wasn't
booked and we're
full.
Out of overhead bin space, right?
Yeah. The
and
problem
we're out
is
of
if
mixed
they're making
nuts.
Yeah, the problem is are they making
nuts,
money?
So, yeah, we're right. Down to just pretzels. But anyways, it may come back. It's a $200 billion company. I know a lot of people, mechanics, engineers, salespeople that work for Boeing. And, you know, I have boots on the ground that I talk to all the time. But having said that, it's not, doesn't meet my criteria at the current time.
And it's interesting because it's, I mean, they've benefited from, you know, what I've heard kind of referred to as aviation or, you know, diplomacy, right? They've been part of the, trade talks and other things where, you know, Trump goes to the Middle East, right, and has a goes to a conference and comes back, and Boeing's got 200 additional plane orders, right,
from
the UAE.
Some huge orders. He should be getting a commission. Like, he needs the money. He should be getting a commission on those sales that he helped make, especially in the Middle East.
Yeah, he's helped build that pipeline. I mean, when you look at that backlog that they have right now, it's pretty it's just their largest in history, and the key for them is starting to crank those things out and roll those things out and deliver those planes. So
now we have a lot of listeners in the Washington, Seattle area. I'd like to hear from somebody. You can, send me an email at Bill at Gunderson Capital. Is the plant up there growing, or is all of this growth, are they moving a lot more quickly in South Carolina, which
That'd
is
be interesting
non-union?
To know. Yeah.
Than they are in the Union State of Washington. It'd be interesting to know. I know people that work at both plants. And a lot of people, we've had some people leave here and go back to the Washington plant. Now, the disaster du jour, and this has just been a mismanaged, horrible stock. At some point, I guess a deep value investor like Buffett might be looking at it, but United Healthcare, the pride of Minneapolis, One of the companies headquartered in Minneapolis, where there's a lot of companies headquartered there, Best Buy, 3M, Target, United Healthcare. And United Healthcare's had a lot to say about what's going on in Minneapolis. But I would just say their own house is not in very good shape here. Man, look at this performance of this stock. And I believe they've had a management change here recently, too. This stock, over the last 5 years, has delivered 2% return per year with all kinds of risk. I still think that our healthcare system in the U.S. is kind of teetering on the brink a little bit with the cost of the insurance going up, these health insurers kind of denying the claims and all of this. Something's got to be cleaned up there. But over the last 3 years, you've lost 9% per year in UNH. Is it time to kick it out of the Dow? I don't know. Would you replace it with Lilly as a healthcare stock? Or is that too much of a different? To me, Lilly does more for the health of America than United Healthcare does. Over the last 12 months, United's down 32%, Barry, and that really digs into the Dow, obviously. Now, of course, the Dow is not really constructed to be an investment vehicle. It's constructed more to be a representation of U.S. industry, you know, and proportionately, figured out and everything. So maybe we shouldn't kick it out because it's showing how bad one of our major sectors, 20% of our economy, is medical. But United, a disaster, and that's why the Dow is down so much today. We'll be right back. You got to go where you want to go, do what you want to go, do it with whoever you want to go. Hey, you got to go where you want to go, do what you want to go. And welcome back to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I talked to somebody down in Houston yesterday. They're still struggling, Barry, with a little bit of weather down there like we are out here.
Yeah, they haven't thawed out yet.
And most places in between. And I talked with Edie, and she is filling up that workshop on Wednesday night. And those appointments on Wednesday and Thursday, that's February 25th. And 26 at the Houston Westin Galleria. During the day, we've got 2 days open with one-hour blocks available to meet with myself and Barry. That's a rare opportunity to meet with us in person to discuss your situation in the financial markets, IRAs, retirement planning, whatever financial plan, whatever the case may be. And then, of course, that Wednesday night, February 25th, that's going to be a workshop. One of my legendary workshops. We hit those things are crowded and door wall to wall people and questions, and afterwards I got a line of people wanting to talk to me about things and whatnot.
And it's current. I mean, the most it's current. I mean, we'll see. I mean, who knows what you're going to be covering necessarily by then?
Who knows,
we've got,
man?
We
could
got
be at
a
war
weeks.
With somebody. I don't know. All right. So, anyways, to reserve a spot to sit down with us, appointment, get your affairs in order there. Call us at 855-611-BEST. Edie is the scheduler, 855-611-BEST, to attend the workshop. Again, 855-611-BEST, or go on to our website at GundersonCapital.com. Okay, now we're going to put Mary Barra under the microscope. CEO, at the end of the day, these CEOs are pretty much, you got to hold them accountable for, and that's why they have shareholder meetings. That's why they have boards of directors. And, of course, investors vote with their money. whether or not they want to, whether or not they have faith and confidence in the management of the company, the future of the company, the products of the company, the future growth of the company, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I mean, like I say, you want to narrow it down. The process of elimination is just as important as the process of finding those gems that stand out in today's world and today's economy where technology is at today. Technology is cyclical. A lot of these industries we talk about, air travel, car, auto manufacturing, are cyclical. They have good times. They have bad times. New technology comes along. Others are displaced. All of this is going on, and that's why I don't believe that you can just sit still and do nothing with a static portfolio, because of the nature of the markets, which they've always been like that ever since I've been in it. Okay, Mary Barra, you have done about half of the S&P 500 over the last 10 years. Believe it or not, I mean, this has been an incredible 10 years for the S&P 500. 26.5 is about double, more than double, the long-term average return of the S&P 500, and I would attribute it to one thing, and that's earnings growth. The earnings growth has been phenomenal. And what do you get when you get earnings growth? You get the indexes with phenomenal performance. You now have a 10-year track record on the S&P 500, way above normal, 26.5% per year. GM, 12.9, okay? You know, that's a solid return, but I could do better just buying the index. Over the last 5 years, about the same, half of what the S&P 500 has done. The S&P has averaged 16.2% per year, while it's averaged 8% per year. It's not looking good, Barry, to be a candidate for the 30 the premier growth portfolio. Plus, I have a hard time with the auto industry itself and how it is. And, you know, they're prone to the tariffs. I see that he upped the tariffs on South Korea today, 25%.
We own, what, Tesla in relative value? I think that's probably the only auto, you know,
yes,
certainly pure auto play that we have. And that play is more really from a technology standpoint,
yes,
versus, say, a car business.
Yes,
standpoint.
And I think investing in Elon Musk himself.
Right.
Right? Because, you know, you can never count the guy out. He's always innovating and coming up with something. He's kind of the Steve Jobs. The late Steve Jobs was always coming up with something and innovating, and investing in Steve Jobs was a very profitable venture. The guy that took over for Jobs has not done near the job that Jobs did. Okay, GM has really done pretty well recently, however. Okay, they've kind of act together. They made it through the tariff turmoil and have put up some pretty good numbers, actually. Over the last 12 months, GM is up 48%, believe it or not, while the S&P is only up 14%. So now I guess with that mixed, very mixed and uneven track record, you got to go to the next 5 years and look out over the next 5 years, the annual growth rate. Well, okay, I'm going to look and see what the analyst, I think it's maybe single digit somewhere in there. I'm using 11%, which is pretty generous, and taking their earnings where they're at today and extrapolating that out and putting a multiple. I come up with a target price of 130. That's 67% upside potential. We like 80% or more. So it gets a C-minus value grade. It gets a B-minus stock grade. We have it as a hold. If you own it, don't sell it. But it's ranked number 2,345 out of 5,192. It's not going to make the cut in the Premier Growth Portfolio. We don't just call it the Premier Growth Portfolio. We want the Premier Growth Stocks, large caps, in the world today. Of course, that's very subject to your own interpretation, et cetera, but we have our criteria that we follow. Okay, well, that was a fast-moving hour. Hopefully you learned something about how to size up stocks. It's very, very important. I would rather own individual stocks than the ETFs and the indexes. That's just me. I like to cherry pick. They get 4 weeks of our newsletter, GundersonCapital.com, to set up an appointment with us about financial planning, investing. GundersonCapital.com or call us at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.